What's cracking, everybody, and welcome to episode 146 of the Good Cracking Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Arnell Pearson, alongside the no longer broken one, Devin Stanford.
I'm still broken.
Nah, he's only kind of broke. He's half broken.
I'm still broken. You're like 20% broken. Points. More than that.
Nah, you're like, dude, lift your arm. He's fine. He's fine, y'all. Look at this fucking guy. Look at Vita Drama Queen. Oh, I can't lift my arm. I can't lift it.
You're like, literally, I feel it from like here to here.
Can you play guitar?
Yeah, but I can't work.
20%. 20%.
20%.
20% broken. 20% broken.
I literally can't work.
Listen, it's been a while since I've gaslit you, so let me have my fun. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, let him have his
fun. Devin, listen, I'm maidenless now. I can do that if I want.
No maidens?
What? No bitches? No, no quote maiden, unquote no Elden maidens. Ring? You know what I'm saying? Dude, the memes that were rolling out for that, because that's like the first interaction, like real interaction you have in that game. So like the memes that were rolling out
from
that game was some of the funniest fucking shit I've ever seen. The first tweet. The first tweet I saw was from what's the homeboy's name?
And then it's like the moaning in the intro, like everyone clipped that, like the arise, you tarnished.
I can't remember his name, but I saw someone's tweet when Elden Ring first came out, and he said, "Did this dude just say I ain't got no bitches?" one of the funniest fucking live tweets for a video game release I've ever seen. It was so fucking good. Alongside Devin, we also have Twitch.tv's DJ Sipin. DJ, what's happening?
And another one.
What's happening, DJ?
And another one. Doing good. Face still bruised.
Yep.
Okay. You know, still recovering from my fight with Floyd Mayweather. So
was it Floyd? I thought it was. I thought you were doing Sylvester Stallone himself. I thought you were just going straight to Rocky himself.
Yeah, no.
Okay,
yeah, Floyd had more money, so I have to secure the bag for me and my family. So
yes, of course. Yeah, I mean, like, even a loss is paying out a good like $800,000.
Yeah, but I still won. I mean, like, you know, he's 50.
Did you win, or did we win, the audience?
That's true. You know, me and Floyd, we're talking about that. You know, like, the real prize is getting the show for the audience. People at home never get to watch me box.
Your family, your extended aunts and uncles that haven't been able to watch you fight.
Yeah, yet. Yeah. You know, they never got to see me box. So, you know, I'm able to fill the seats with like all my friends, family, and you know, relatives. It was just a sight to see. Especially under the bright lights in Las Vegas.
Devin, when you heal up, who are you going to fight for everyone at home?
You.
Damn, dog. The GK event of 2023. Let's go.
you like the no hesitation on that?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. I love it. Have you guys seen
the face-offs, like the fucking face-offs?
Have you guys seen the movie Warrior? So it's Tom Hardy and
you
should. It's a fucking good movie. It's Tom Hardy and the dude who plays as Luke Skywalker's dad on Naboo. Wow, what's that actor's fucking name?
Luke Skywalker's dad on Naboo, bruh.
Or no, not Naboo. Tatooine. Thank you. I can't remember his name, but it's Tom Hardy. Oh, Tommy Conlon, I think is his name. No, Joel Edgerton. Oh. That's what it is. Joel Edgerton. They're two brothers that both used to be like UFC fighters when they were like super young, and now that they're like adults, Tom Hardy's character's all fucked up from being like a Marine, like in the military, and Joel Edgerton's a like high school math teacher, and they're both in a position where they both have to go and like fight like in a UFC tournament in order for them to get money for different reasons. And they end up fighting each other in the big finale. It's fucking dope, dude. It's a dope ass movie, man. It's super fucking sick. That's kind of what that reminds me of. So basically, my point being, at the end of that movie, it's gonna be me and Devin, and we're just gonna drop gloves, and we're gonna make out in the middle. We're just gonna kiss right in the middle.
Mike Tyson is gonna be narrating the whole thing. Like, he's gonna be commentating the whole event, and then at that finale, he'll just be like, "Now kith."
And then in the director's cut that we'll release on Blu-ray.
I like we're just kind of
extended scene where you guys take your clothes off.
The only hands edition.
Only hands edition. Yeah, I love we're just slowly turning this into a porn. Like softcore.
On Pornhub.com.
Well, today we're not talking about Pornhub, because today we're talking Netflix killing its own zombies. Would you kindly, finally, our D23 predictions and much, much more, because this is the Good Kraken Podcast, your choice for all the nerdy video game and pop media news, reviews, and discussions that you want to hear live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 12 p.m. If you're on this wave, you can head on over to our Discord channel, where soon you can submit questions at the top of the show, get exclusive post-show content, and have early access before episodes go live on podcasts and video services across the digital sea. But if you've emptied your pockets for the latest and greatest in entertainment, that is totally fine. You can watch us record this show live right here at twitch.tv/goodkrakenshow. If you have Amazon Prime, you also have Twitch Prime. We would love for you to give that to us to keep us pushing content out for all of you listening or watching at home. But you can also support us by going to our YouTube channel, by clicking that beautiful bell and big red button, or by subscribing to our podcast channel by searching Good Kraken with an exclamation mark and leaving a review there.
Reviews.
DJ,
what's up?
We have some captain's orders, my friend. So first off, guys, I did a little snort there, trying to breathe in, kind of keep my pace in myself. Dude, guys, okay, I woke up the other morning and like my like nasal passage was like so dry and fucked up, and I think in my situation, I think it was partially because the weather, and then also partially because of my potential for sleep apnea, because I am quote unquote overweight, as the professionals say. You know what I'm saying? I like to call it perfect. But they had to come up with a different name for it, because that's too powerful. That's too powerful, right? You can only have so much cake before the doctors are like,
you can't have that much cake.
You can't have that much cake, right? And I'm like, that's bullshit. Right. Safeway has that much cake, and I got it too. You know what I'm saying? Just say that. Anyways, we won't be doing live posts for our, just a reminder for everybody, we're not going to be doing going live posts for our podcast live recordings anymore. It's only going to be for our gameplay, new episodes when they go live on podcast platforms, as well as special events that Good Kraken will be doing going forward. So if you guys are wanting to get a good idea of what our live schedule looks like when we're here on twitch.tv/goodkrakenshow, please check out the weekly schedule that we put out on all of our platforms every Monday. That's in our Discord. Garrick posts that up for us. And then we have an ad map that we put out on all of our socials for you guys to be able to see and follow along, that has all of our dates, times, the main segments that we're going to be talking about for that stuff. That's a good way to check that out. Secondly, please go watch me and Garrick's gameplay stream for Splash Damage last night, where we played Rumbleverse. That is up on YouTube right now. You guys can check that out. It actually went surprisingly well. We sucked ass for the first like 45 minutes, and then me and Garrick were like, nah, let's go off. We ended ending the night with a match. We got top three. We got third place in the big finale. And so we started getting a little bit more accustomed to the combat in it. It is a hard game. It is a very, very difficult game. But once you kind of get a feel and like kind of get a concept of like how the mechanics work, what everybody else is doing, how you should react to it, things get a little bit easier. This is the first time I've played a battle royale game ever that I actually like enjoyed my time with it. I'll be talking about it a little bit further later on. But either way, Devin, can you please tell the people at home what we've got next?
Absolutely. Next, we have the Helm. The Helm is where we gather. Squawk.
Squawk.
Lots of squawks.
Squawk. Any squawkers?
Squawkers? Squawkers? Poggers? What?
Poggers? Boggers, cockers, squawkers.
This is where we gather the most important news stories that we've seen this week, and we share them with you guys. I will start with this first one for you.
Let's go.
Netflix kills its Resident Evil series after just one season. This is coming from Michael McWetter over at Polygon. Despite grand long-term plans for the television adaptation of Capcom's survival horror franchise, the Resident Evil series reportedly did not find a large enough audience to warrant renewal. Resident Evil premiered in July, shortly after the highly successful and conversation-dominating second part of Stranger Things Season 4 dropped on Netflix, which could account for the former's tepid word of mouth. The show was also poorly received by critics and fans. In Polygon's review of the first season, we said, quote, "The biggest surprise about Netflix's new Resident Evil series is its careful devotion to the series' weird and often tempered with canon, and just how boring the show is as a result," end quote. Reviews elsewhere were similarly negative. The 8-episode Netflix series recently followed another disappointing live-action adaptation, Sony Pictures' So-So Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City, which bowed in theaters last November. At least Resident Evil fans will get a fresh fix from the video game soon, with a new story expansion coming for Resident Evil Village this October and a remake of Resident Evil 4 landing early next year.
So, boys,
I'm not surprised.
Surprise.
I'm surprised because I didn't even know this existed. I didn't know
Resident Evil show. You didn't even watch it.
I didn't even know it was a thing. I thought I heard about it. I was like, "Oh man, when's that coming out?" And then like now, it's gone. It's done.
So DJ, right? So Devin and I both watched it. We both watched it,
right?
And it was fine. Like at best, it was fine. There was some stuff like, that it did that was kind of
like
cool.
Five at its best, like a five. You'd say?
Maybe. Like at its best, like, right? Like about to, like,
the thing about the show is their attention to detail with the monsters and everything. That's like the best
like
thing
the animation of these creatures, and like how they picked them and stuff was cool for what it was. What's up, DJ? You got a question?
Who was a part of this show? Like any big names?
The only big actor that is a part of the show is the gentleman who does the voice for Zavala in Destiny, as well as the one of the villains in Horizon.
What's his name? Lance Riddick?
Yeah, Lance Riddick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Damn, Lance Riddick tied himself to this? Oh, man.
I mean, and like Lance Riddick, honestly, like, was
oh man.
Lance Riddick
did a good job.
He was one of the better parts.
Lance
Riddick
is awesome. Like I love him, but like
he did phenomenal.
I feel bad.
There's probably maybe only one other actor in the show that did great too, and that was the young version of what's her face. Can't remember name because the show's not really memorable. But but she
wasn't
she
that
killed
like
it.
Brittany or something.
It was something like that. Brittany,
something like that.
Tabitha, Amanda. I don't fucking know. But all the names. She did a phenomenal job. Like she actually really, really killed it. Everybody else, gotcha. I could have taken literally anyone else on the planet to take their goddamn parts. But
I could take the role now.
The show was very I'm not in the least bit surprised.
Not even
by
mid.
This. Like, there's not, yeah, even, not mid. Even mid. Honestly, it just it was sloppy. It was not well put together. The writing was fucking terrible. There's so many issues that the show had that like if they would have just fixed all these other tiny little things, I would have gotten over the change in canon. If the acting was good and the how they got to each plot beat was better, I would have gotten over the canon changes. They weren't. You know, so unfortunately there was no space for a season two for the show ever at any point at all. Now Devin, my question for you, my friend, is obviously we're not surprised, obviously now we see we're not getting a season two for this. Do you think Resident Evil is doomed as a medium that is outside of the video games?
Yes.
Okay.
That's I didn't even watch Welcome to Raccoon City because I was already upset that they're like the costume design in that movie looked like they just walked into a spirit Halloween.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
it very much.
So was. I was just like that, and the actor that they got to play Leon doesn't look like Leon
anything
at all.
Like him. I didn't like them.
Yeah.
And it's like, again, yeah. if they would have buttered things up, the change in canon could have worked for me. Just like how Albert Wesker is now black in the show, right? Like, that's that was a big canon change that they made. I can get over that if the acting is good. The guy who played Leon, he is good. He is good. But everything else around it was not. But the guy who played Leon was not doing good. The actors around him weren't good. The writing wasn't good. Nothing was good about that fucking movie. The special effects
was terrible. It looked like it was out of an early PS3 game.
I would not have been surprised if they used toy guns and they just cut off the orange tip.
Painted them
or just spray painted it, right? Yeah. I would not have been surprised if that's what they fucking did for that movie. I cannot believe that the Resident Evil games are so fucking phenomenal, and for whatever reason every time someone tries to pick up this IP,
it can't hit anything else.
Like, why can't y'all literally just...
zombies. They're not hard.
It's not hard. Just remake the game.
If it fails, I say for any like game or anything, like if it just fails as a Netflix show, I think you gotta call it wraps. Like, you just gotta not quits, pursue baby. Anything else.
Just call it quits, baby.
Like,
Devin, you're gonna hop in for a second.
As a show.
Oh, yeah. It's the material is there. There is so much story for them to do.
It's theatrical in the game. And it's like
also like what's up with the Sony's like freaking movie. Lately, like, I feel like they've all been very mid subpar.
What does that have to do?
Man? Sony's just been in deep shit
because Sony did the Resident Evil movie.
Oh no, Sony's, yeah, no, sure. I mean, Sony's been historically and not very good. So
and then like with the Venom movies and Morbius and like
Uncharted. I don't think Sony did the last run of movies though, did they? Like Extinction and all those.
No, they didn't do those. They did Welcome to Raccoon City.
Yeah, sure. I mean, like, that's a given. Yeah. I mean, historically, yeah, Sony's
no, I'm just bad. Like, I'm just like noticing this string of just very mid to like meh movies.
I mean, I liked Uncharted, but some would say that it was not as good as I.
Actually, the majority would say that.
Nah.
I think you're Uncharted's only fan. Or no.
Only fan?
OnlyFans,
catch you on onlyfan.com/OceanTread.
OnlyFan.
OnlyFan. Just one singular fan. DJ, hit us with our next story, my man. Speaking of Netflix, let's do it.
I got you. So, Netflix's BioShock movie has its director. This is from Ryan Leston at Netflix. Hunger Games director Francis Lawrence will helm the video game adaptation, while Logan and Blade Runner 2049 writer Michael Green will pen the script. Huge. BioShock has been in the works for a long time, with numerous attempts to bring the classic dystopian FPS to the big screen. Soon after the release of the first game, director Gore Verbinski was attached to a live-action adaptation, which was later canceled. It was later revealed that this version was just weeks away from filming. Most recently, it was announced to be in the works by Netflix. Now it looks as though the project is finally moving forward. BioShock was released in 2007 and soon became recognized as one of the best games of the decade. Set in the futuristic underwater city of Rapture, the game follows Jack, an aircraft passenger who's thrust into the underworld dystopia after a plane crash leaves him stranded. But as many of us know, all is not what it seems. The game and its sequels are ripe material for a Hollywood adaptation, with fans eager to see the game head to the big screen. Now, it looks as though we're closer than ever to seeing it happen.
Sheesh. Michael fucking Green and Francis Lawrence. What the fuck?
Huge.
What the fuck?
Massive.
Oh my god.
This is huge.
Dude, yeah. Devin, you and I just got done talking about this BioShock movie about 6 months ago, and we were like, no, dude, it's done. There's no fucking way this is happening, right?
It's cooked.
Where the fuck did this happen?
And then some of the best writers...
It's like Logan Blade Runner 2049 is a huge thing. Like, what? Like, mm-hmm. just leading with that?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Hunger Games director Logan Blade Runner 2049.
Dude, this movie is gonna fucking slap. This movie is gonna have no business being as good as it's going to be. Dude, Michael Green has shown us that he is an incredible fucking writer. Like,
how did he find out about this?
What the fuck, man?
I just hope I just hope both of them were just like BioShock, like they just know about BioShock and they're like, we could put this up big. Like, and I just two of them in the room together, like that's insane,
dude.
That's
insane. Like, dude. Like he and not only that, but like Francis Lawrence too, the director of I Am Legend and Constantine and all the Hunger Games movies and stuff, like.
Dude, he did
the Beyonce Run the World Girls music video.
Yeah. Dude, the vision here is going to be incredible. We've seen how good of a movie Logan was. We saw how good of a movie Blade Runner 2049 was. With a director like Francis Lawrence to helm, like how this movie could look in tandem to Michael Green's writing. This movie seriously has like the chops to actually be a potential like movie of the year fucking runner, dude. Like I am mind blown by this. Like Logan was one of my favorite movies of all fucking time.
Same.
Like
the best like Marvel movie, I'm sure, in my opinion.
Look, if this is anything else, like right, I'm sure those two guys tied to like, I don't know, like dog shit in the park could make something like good. But it's tied to fucking BioShock, which has nth amount of potential to just be fucking insane.
One of the best video game
underwater there's a lighthouse city in every universe. There's a lighthouse in every universe.
Dude, the expansion, dude, it could just be. Oh my god! Like this has got me hard. I'm rock solid right now.
So here's my question for you guys, right? And DJ, let's start with you here.
Yeah.
Where in the timeline of the BioShock games do you think this is going to take place, and how is it going to play out?
Okay, so there's two ways they could go with this, right? I'm sure that they have to do for Rapture. I don't think they're gonna go the infinite route just yet with like, you know,
not Air quite, City. Right. Okay, sure.
Not
sure.
Quite. Yeah, because I think like what they're gonna try to go for is like what everyone else really likes, because infinite was kind of like kind of polarizing. Like some people liked it, some people didn't like it. So I think that it might just be like, you know, I don't think this will be a self-contained story. I think it might just be following like the first game. I'm pretty sure, because I think that's like that set piece of plane crash. You're in fucking Rapture. I think that's pretty cool. Or maybe we get some type of like prologue about Rapture or something that, you know, they could kind of come up with, and then we will see the transition from kind of utopia to dystopian in the Rapture and like the fall of it, maybe. Like I said, it could be also self-contained. Maybe someone in Rapture, there's another story that while could Rapture take place, is existing. I know,
okay,
yeah, or because I know in Infinite there's a DLC where Elizabeth, which is like, you know, you play as Elizabeth and you go back in time, basically.
Yeah.
Or in different dimension. Or whatever the fuck. And, you know, and that's a, like its self-contained story, like away from Jack from the first game, I think. Right. I mean, it's still relate, like it's still connections, but it's away from what he's doing.
Sure. Devin Stanford from Good Kraken Podcast.
Oh, yes. Yes, my name is Devin Stanford from Good Kraken Podcast, aka Brevin the Dude.
Yes, hi.
So, I know what this needs to be for it to be canon within this universe to coincide with the games. Okay. It we need a Fall of Rapture movie.
Yes.
100% Fall of Rapture.
BioShock prequel, right?
Cuz like, and have it end with the plane crashing in the water.
Yeah, that's it. Because I was talking about it, I was like, yeah, I think a Fall of Rapture, like the Descent of Rapture, seems like a good go-to.
I'm picturing it, right? So Rapture is being destroyed, end of the movie, right? Main character dies or some shit like that. Slowly zoom, pan out of Rapture and destruction, and then the camera slowly lifts up into the like top of the ocean, and time starts scrolling by, and then from wide pan angle of one lighthouse, we see one plane in the far, far, far off distance crash right into the water.
Yep.
And then it's greenlit for a sequel.
Yeah. And then the first movie is all in the perspective of Andrew Ryan.
Oh, you want Andrew Ryan to be the main character?
Yeah.
Would you kindly give or, that or, to or, me? Or
send into madness. Have Christian Bale be Andrew Ryan.
Oh, you want Christian Bale's Andrew Ryan, huh? Okay, okay.
I like the aesthetic of Bioshock, too. It's like that, like, old, like, kind of, like, 30s.
Steve Buscemi aesthetic. Should be in it, too.
I think I kind of want... Steve. I think my headcanon's Andrew Ryan is Cillian Murphy.
Ooh, that would actually be really good, yeah, actually.
That's my Andrew Ryan, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Dude, Steve Buscemi needs to be in this movie. I'm, like, kind of picturing, like, a 1940s, 50s style, like mobster era kind of movie, but with the canon and the world of like Bioshock, you know.
So do you want Mr. Deeds Steve Buscemi or do you want Big Daddy Steve Buscemi?
No, I want Boardwalk Empire Steve Buscemi.
Okay, I see. Hey, Crazy Eyes, how you doing? I'm doing all right, man. Boys, we have some great news out of Bioshock movie. Finally giving us some great, great, great stuff here. We have some very unfortunate news here next, because the PS5 price to increase in select markets due to global economic environment, including high inflation rates. This comes from the PlayStation blog itself. The global economic environment is a challenge that many of you around the world are no doubt experiencing. We're seeing high global inflation rates as well as adverse currency trends impacting consumers and creating pressure on many industries. Based on these challenging economic conditions, SIE has made the difficult decision to increase the recommended retail price of the PlayStation 5 in select markets across Europe, Middle East, and Africa, Asia Pacific, Latin America, as well as Canada. There will be no price increase in the United States. The new RRPs below are effective immediately unless otherwise noted. So I have a list here. Europe, the PS5 Ultra HD Blu-ray disc drive version. So the disc version, we'll just call it the disc version. It's going to be at €549.99. PS5 digital will be at €449.99. The UK, we have the disc version will be £479.99 pounds. Digital will be £389.99. Japan, we have let's see here, effective September 15th, 60,478 yen for the disc, and the digital will be 49,478 yen. China, they have 4,299 yuan. For the disc version. I think that's how it's pronounced. My mistake if I'm mispronouncing that, guys. The digital edition will be 3,499 yuan. And then Australia, we have 799.95 for the Australian dollar. And 649.95 for the digital edition in Australian dollars.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, God, dude, I know, right? Jesus Christ.
The Mexico prices.
14,999 Mexican dollars for the disc and 12,499 Mexican dollars for the digital. Canada will be $649.99 Canadian dollars for disc, and digital will be $519.99 for the digital. Jesus Christ. While this price increase is a necessity given the current global economic environment and its impact on SIE's business, our top priority continues to be improving the PS5 supply situation so that as many players as possible can experience everything that the PS5 offers and what's still to come. Devin, my man, you are our guy who has been very critical of PlayStation along the steps of the way. I have been trying to be, even though you know I love me some PlayStation, you know you ought to love me some PlayStation games. It has been very difficult for me to be supportive of that brand given their decisions of late. Devin, what I want to ask you here, and the answer might be obvious, is this bullshit?
Yes. This also, this whole thing just like screams to me that PlayStation is like, help, help, we need money, help.
Which is shocking to think about, right?
Yeah.
Why is that? Why is that you think that they're needing this?
Well, we talked about this a long time ago at the launch.
Sure.
I think PlayStation got really comfortable where they were sitting with the PS4 and how successful it was, and they didn't do enough backdoor deals to keep their supply chain running or come out with a cheaper console at the same time, even cheaper than the discless one. to help keep production and, you know, cash flow going. So they went, you know, sometimes months without having anything sold because of the supply chain really already being bought out. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I just think someone did a boo-boo up top, not making the right choices. Ryan. And being too prideful of their product.
Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what my honest thought on how
that's
that
fair.
Is.
That's fair.
I'm DJ. No business analyst. I'm no professional.
No, sure.
But that's
sure.
My honest thought.
That's why we're here. Yeah, that's why we're here. DJ, is this unforgivable?
As someone who grew up in a PlayStation household, vouching for PlayStation as a PlayStation fanboy before I got my PC, and even after having a PS4, PS3, mm-hmm. PS2, mm-hmm. PS1, okay? Yeah. I've been here. I don't have a PS5 because PC. The supply chain can't keep up with demand for it. So I just this disheartens me. Like as Sony is just was the big dog. Like in a lot of areas outside of just fucking gaming too. Mm-hmm. It's sad. Like mm-hmm. why? You know, this seems so desperate. It seems like a big fuck you to like everyone that's outside of the US for some reason. I don't know who's currently running operations right now for Sony. You know what I mean? But they should be ashamed of themselves.
Let's find out.
They should be ashamed of themselves, okay? Like I don't know. I know Sony started in Japan, and you know how like, you know, when Japanese companies make a mistake, they do a whole big public apology, like out on TV, like all the fucking workers stand outside the fucking in a drone shot, everyone's like bowing to try to like, I feel like this is what they should do, because they've consistently and constantly make the wrong decision, the wrong move, like this everything just seems like a money grab. Like it's just shameful. It's shameful. Like, look, like this is a PS4 controller, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to me, this is dead. All right?
DJ.
I don't want to see that shit anymore.
Okay? DJ.
It's
Daddy
it's,
chill.
It upsets chill. Me so much.
Okay, so
fuck Sony.
So to answer your question, I actually, and this is my own ignorance of not being like dived into this well enough. Jim Ryan is the CEO. I thought he was just the American representative CEO, but no, he is the CEO of PlayStation specifically, whereas Sony is the legendary Shuhei Yoshida, technically Kenichiro Yoshida. Now, The thing is here is, as also a PlayStation guy, how am I left as the consumer for PlayStation to even have any interest in wanting to support them outside of just buying the games that I want to buy? If they're not supporting their consumers at the level that we see Xbox doing it, how do you come off of the PlayStation 4, the success of the PlayStation 4's generation, and flop this fucking hard? Like, so hard that you need to increase the market price of your hardware across almost the entirety of the world? Are you out of your fucking mm-hmm. mind? Like, what in the world are they thinking? Like, what Jim Ryan, dude. How do they expect their consumers, their audience, their PlayStation fans?
How did
fans,
this board meeting go? Like, what checks and balances that they go through to be like, this is what we should do?
Well, it's exactly what Devin was saying. It's like someone somewhere along the course of time here between 4 years ago, when they probably really started ramping up production on this stuff, to now, someone fucked up. Someone somewhere, somebody. Whether it's Jim Ryan, whether it's Shuhei Yoshida, I don't know. Someone fucked up, and now the only people who have to suffer for it are us PlayStation fans.
Us, the consumers.
The consumers. And it's not like DJ's fight with Floyd Mayweather where the audience is the winner. We're the losers here. We're the ones who have to fucking suffer here. And like,
we lose.
They're planning on increasing their price of PlayStation exclusive games to $70. They're increasing the price of their hardware across the entire world. What the fuck is next? Like they're increasing the price of their subscription price in order to compete with Xbox Game Pass, which is, and it's still not the same thing as Xbox Game Pass. It's
still an inferior version of Game Pass.
I am, and Devin, go ahead.
I'm sick. I'm sick. Go ahead. I'm sick.
You know what's next? A $50 price drop across all Xbox consoles.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Actually, because that's what they do after 2 years. Like, it's, dude. I'm just,
that's what's next, guys. I put the money on the table right now. That's what's like, next.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, no. Like, they do that historically. Sony, that is up.
Sony needs to make like a public apology, and then like put Ghost of Tsushima on PC, and you know, I might let them back into my household.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're at this point, they're gonna have to do a whole lot.
They're gonna be bleeding so much money. They have to go to Tsushima on PC, guys.
I will be okay with this if this ends up with them putting every exclusive on PC day one as well.
Yeah,
see, dude, then that's the thing.
That would make them so much money.
they have, and why they're not doing it, I don't know. There's so much now that they have to earn back from us fans to get us back into their ecosystem and invested in their ecosystem, because the exclusives are not going to be enough. The exclusives coming to PC, sure, yeah, that'll be enough. But their brand new exclusives that they're going to be rolling out with over the course of the next 6 years, it's not going to be enough, dude. Like, Game Pass came in, they shot PlayStation in both fucking kneecaps, and instead of PlayStation, like, trying to crawl its way out and try to get its way out and go to the hospital and get taken care of, they're instead just saying, shoot me in the face, daddy, I like it. why are they doing this?
And this also fucks over the developers who put those games as exclusives. They sign on to the exclusive deal, and then their games flop because... one, no one has a console, and two, they can't afford it because they just spent all their money on the fucking console. Like,
yeah, exactly. It's like
Xbox already shot them in the kneecaps, but they're also shooting themselves in the foot as well. Like,
absolutely fucking absurd, dude. I don't know. We'll see how things roll out. You guys at home know that we will be covering that as we go along, as PlayStation seems to stumble across both their left feet as the years go by. We'll keep you guys covered on that. Who knows? Maybe PlayStation will be no longer a PlayStation.
Xbox after winning the war
after PS5.
Yeah, we're winning the war right now.
We'll see how it goes. In the meantime, guys, we are getting House of the Dragon gets early season 2 renewal at HBO. This comes from Jennifer Moss over at Variety. The second season pickup comes as a little surprise, given HBO's financial investment in the show, as well as the fact that the premiere shattered HBO's record for the biggest premiere audience for a new show ever. Nearly 10 million people tuned in across all platforms this past Sunday, with HBO now claiming that number has risen to 20 million after 4 days of playback. Quote, we are beyond proud of what the entire House of the Dragon team has accomplished with season one, said Francesca Orsi, executive vice president of HBO programming. Our phenomenal cast and crew undertook a massive challenge and exceeded all expectations, delivering a show that has already established itself as a must-see TV. A huge thank you to George, Ryan, and Miguel for leading us on this journey. We couldn't be more excited to continue bringing to life the epic saga of House Targaryen with season 2. So there's obviously not too much to talk about here. This is fucking rad. This first episode, yeah. DJ, I don't know if you watched it yet.
I've seen some clips on TikTok, actually.
Okay.
It looks cool.
You got to watch this first episode, because as me and Devin can attest to, we're fucking back, baby. We're fucking back in the game. I am fucking bond, dude. I watched it like 3 times, too. It's so good. We're right back in the iron seat, man.
I know we're live right now, but I feel like we need to start just watching this together in Discord. Because I mean, we're talking about 6 o'clock
GK community. Look, you guys at home,
yeah,
GK,
watch party.
Let us know in our Discord. Come and hang out with us on our Discord. We have that in the chat. If you're coming in, we can link you again. Just let us know. For you podcast listeners, you audio listeners, once this goes live, let us know. Join our Discord. Let us know on Twitter if you guys want to do Sunday night watch alongs for House of the Dragon. I'm free Sunday nights. I'm like 100% down to do some watch alongs for this show, because this show is going to be fucking incredible. Like, I'm super stoked on this, dude. DJ, let us know when you watch it.
First episode already dragons.
Dragons already there.
Already dragons. Good looking dragons too. Good ones.
And she said it, man.
Dragons.
She said the thing. She said the fucking thing. Dracaris. Oh, dude, I felt my pee-pee move, dude. It was lit. I was like, holy shit. Holy shit, she said it. Oh, man. I can't fucking wait, dude. I can't wait to see fucking more. In the meantime, guys, we're going to move on to our next segment. But before we move on to our next segment, I want to remind everyone that they can support us by joining our Discord channel, where soon they'll be able to get early access on episodes. They will be able to write into the show, and they can get episodes ad-free. But if they're hearing this, they probably aren't on our Discord channel. So for now, here's a word from our sponsors.
This piece of good cracking content is brought to you by Glide mouse pads. The world is changing, and the demand for PC gaming and work from home setups has never been as wild as it is right now. Having the best of the best in PC accessories only makes it easier to get your work done before you jump right back into the fray of the digital sea. And Glide knows exactly how to make it happen for you. Glide mouse pads is the future industry leader in mouse pads, offering beautiful, smooth, and waterproof products made with eco-friendly materials and non-slip rubber in a variety of sizes that are guaranteed to help you get the next win. Is your battle rug just looking a little crusty? Is the mouse just not as smooth as it used to be? Or are you just looking to get rid of that ergonomic mouse pad your grandma got you for Christmas? Well, then I think we have the mouse pad for you. You can go to glidemousepads.com right now and use code Kraken for 15% off the Founders Edition mousepad in every size available. Again, that's code K-R-A-K-E-N, Kraken, for 15% off any Founders Edition mousepads today. Our next sponsor is Rogue Energy. Late nights are pretty much commonplace for us content creators, and any of us here at GK can attest that sometimes you're just too damn tired to even think about how not to be tired anymore. Lucky for us, though, Rogue has figured out how to give us those late nights and even earlier mornings the supercharge we all need. Rogue Energy is a low-calorie, no-sugar energy formula that is the perfect alternative to sugar-filled canned energy drinks and sodas. Every formula Rogue Energy produces is designed with optimal levels of high-quality ingredients and no chalky textures. Being the only gaming drink company in the world with four unique product lines to suit your task at hand, Rogue Energy strives to improve that in-game performance of gamers, streamers, and content creators everywhere. Look, I love this stuff. I've got two tubs at home right now. Your boy is drinking on some caramel vanilla latte in the mornings and sipping on some mango pineapple throughout the day. And if you are wondering how you can get these two dope flavors, well, I'm gonna tell you. You can head over to rogueenergy.com and use code GKRAKEN for 10% off your purchase on any shaker or formula tub of your choosing. That is GKRAKEN for 10% off any shaker or formula tub of your black. And now back to your regularly scheduled good cracking content.
Come. I fucking hate it here.
That one's for you, Josh.
These assholes just making my life harder while we're on ad breaks. I fucking hate it. DJ, tell the people at home what we got going on next.
Well, or no.
Yeah, what's up, baby?
Get ready. Because we got to get these hands on our decks, because it's hands on deck, baby.
Let's go, baby. DJ, what is hands on deck for the people at home?
So, hands on deck is we'll go around and each of us will pick one game or movie or show that we've watched recently, and we'll explain it to the audience. You know, what's good about it, what we liked, what we didn't like, and
what's good about
recommend
it
to you guys at home. So,
fuck yeah, baby, you know? Fuck yeah. DJ, you hit us off. Go ahead. What have you been playing or watching this week, Daddy?
So last Saturday, I was saying that, you know, I got into the new Tekken animated show. I only watched the first episode, but now I have finished it. So I can give you guys an actual a little bit of a more a solid review.
Okay,
all right. So now Tekken, again, Tekken Bloodline, right?
On
Netflix. It is, it follows the Tekken 3 storyline. It adds some of the newer characters from the latest game into it, and it adds some more plot points and more narrative points into the story, since it's never been clearly defined in like kind of the Tekken universe through the games.
Sure.
I don't know how to say this. It's written and it's voiced originally in English.
Right.
But in the games, every character is from a different part of the world and they all speak their own language, but somehow everyone can understand each other.
Right.
So it's kind of weird to try to put that into the show, and I understand that. And the show kind of actually, it gives us a little bit of a Easter egg. Jin, the main character, in scenes in the first episode, there's a book on the table that's Japanese to English.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows how to speak English to the other characters that speak English from America or however.
Sure.
But I struggled watching this because I like the Japanese voice actors. They have some good Japanese voice actors. I think I didn't look into this, but it sounds like the voice actors, they do it for the characters in the game. Besides some of the characters who actually speak English, they have to find Japanese voice actors for them. Or if they spoke Korean or whatever, they have to find a Japanese voice actor for them.
Yeah.
So I kept finding myself switching back and forth from English to Japanese just because I didn't know what sounded better. And to be honest, in English, some of the voice acting seems kind of forced.
Okay.
It's like, so the voice actor for Jin, he's like, Jin is kind of like reserved in the game. He's like reserved. Like, he doesn't say too much, but you know, he can invoke emotion. But he doesn't say too much. He's like kind of like, you know, low, and he's like serious guy. He's like super serious guy. And so the voice actor in the show, it's kind of taking it like, kind of like the Sasuke,
okay,
you know, in that type of sense, like, you know, he's like super serious, but there's like pauses in the pacing of like the writing that's like, you know, usually reserved for like anime, like, you know, the grunts and like and I don't think that voice actor is used to that, or he took like the wrong type of beats in his script, because it just felt off with this character, with Jin, and it just made everything else seem kind of awkward. So that's why I liked it. I liked hearing Jin in Japanese because he gets that down pat and it sounds better. And then what the voice actor they did for Heihachi, which is the Jin's grandfather in the show, he's pretty powerful. I don't think the voice fits for him either.
Okay.
So it's just the voice acting gets me like confused, and the story, the pacing, it felt off. It felt weird. I felt like I wanted to see more. I want to see these characters fleshed out more. It seemed like as soon as we are introduced to somebody, it's like the next thing. Here's the, like, we got to push it along. Like, you can feel it being rushed towards like this climax, and not like, oh, like, or like, where does Paul Phoenix hail from? You know, like, well, how did he get here? You know, like, why are they doing this? And there's some characters that they do explain like why they're here, but I wish I could have got more of them, because like in the Tekken universe, everyone has their favorite character and their favorite main, because there's so many characters that have so many distinct stories. That
massive stories, people, massive like, backstories.
Yeah, massive backstories. So it, like, you know, there's some endearing qualities to these characters, and the fact that we're just following Jin, I understand Jin is the main character that pushes the Tekken universe along. I would love to see Nina's like background and like being a hit woman, or an assassin. And or like, I want to see like why Julia's there, and I want to see why Leroy's there. Leroy Smith, he's a black guy, an old black dude that knows Wing Chun, and he's a newer character, and you're adding him back into the old story. So like, I want to see more of him, but he gets his leg broken in like episode 2, 3.
Yeah.
So it's, and he's gone. So I don't know. The animation's great. I love watching it. There's some like areas you can tell they cut corners, Which, I mean, like, those scenes are, like, probably, like, not that important, so I understand. Sure, fighting, sure. The fighting animations,
choreography, and
they take from the game. So, like, you can see, like, certain moves that they do in the game that are in the show. So, and, like, the when a character hits someone, they use the same particle effects that the character uses in-game.
Oh, that's kind of cool. That's kind of cool.
So, okay. I thought that was really cool.
DJ, it just felt rushed. It feels like you're in summary, you're kind of saying that that everything else was okay with it. It's just the voice actor sort of took you out of the universe a little bit, right?
Yeah, and like the pacing, the story, like the writing, like, you know, I know the story, but like, you know, they're adding some new shit into it. And it just I give it like a 6.
6, perfect. Okay, that's what I was gonna ask you next. A 6 out of 10. Okay. All right, all right. I see you, DJ.
Yeah.
6 is I guess fair for a Netflix animated show. I mean, obviously their animated content has
I wanted
better,
to be more, but
it
could have been better,
know,
for sure.
I don't know. I guess this is the problem we've been having for pre-existing IPs, right? Like, this is it's not new for Netflix to sort of drop the ball a little bit on these things, but, you know,
at least it's just like mid and above mid. But it's not like the best thing I've seen.
All right, fair enough. Devin, the broken man Sanford, what have you been playing or watching this week?
You're muted,
Daddy.
Oh, hey there. Oh, there, Danny, thank you. I've been out of the house a lot recently, but I did marathon all 3 Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies recently.
Okay, so talk about it. I mean, like, it's been a long time since you've watched these movies, right? So how are you feeling about them? How are you sitting on these?
Oh my gosh.
These days.
The Sam Raimi is so evident. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which you and I have talked about how we like the little tropes and stuff that he, you know, caters to. Mm. And Spider-Man 2 is still the best Spider-Man movie ever to be made. That's my opinion.
Outside of No Way Home? Or including No Way Home? I mean, think about what you're saying here, Daddy. You know what I'm saying?
But you get what I'm saying, though, at the same time.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it is pretty good. It is pretty fucking good. I will give you
I'm not going to lie. I almost like the Tobey Maguire fight scenes more than Tom Holland ones. Yeah. I think it's a little bit more like ruthless with the fights. And also that train scene, so good.
You got Joey Diaz right up front.
So I guess a good question for you is, do you think these movies still hold up?
Yes, with the exception of 3.
Yeah, it's still pretty bad, huh? Still pretty bad.
It's pretty cringe.
Yeah, okay. I see you. That's not surprising.
Topher Grace is Venom. Come on.
God, man. I can't believe they did that ever. Shit, dude.
Like the worst Venom ever.
So why? Yeah. So why'd you go and burn through these? Did you just one day you were just like, I kind of want to watch Toby's Spider-Man?
It was my friend's idea.
Oh, okay. You guys are just kicking it in, just doing a little kickback or whatever. Yeah. Did you watch all 3 in one sitting?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. You could have spent your time watching the all 3 Lord of the Rings movies, but instead you watched Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man.
You act like I haven't done that. I own all the extended
editions. It's not like
editions.
You haven't done this before. You could have done. You done Lord of the Rings instead.
It's,
you know
it's
saying?
Been longer since I've done this since Lord of the Rings.
You know what's a good 3-piece to burn through in a day? The Blade trilogy.
Oh yeah, you did that. You did that not too long ago.
Mm-hmm. That's a very.
You know, I always forget that Ryan Reynolds is in a couple of those movies.
Just one. He's in the third one, Blade Trinity.
That's right.
He's basically Deadpool in that. it's pretty great, but I mean, Blade Trinity was okay, it was fine, you know, but the Blade 1 and 2 are fucking lit. Those are lit ass movies, goddamn. Those still hold
and
up
saved
too.
Fucking Marvel's ass. Saved
goddamn.
Marvel's
goddamn.
Yeah, they did.
Goddamn.
Saved
Marvel's yeah, those
ass.
Those movies are responsible for the MCU.
Yeah, literally. Literally.
Yeah. Well, Devin, I mean, in current day times, how would you rate the Sam Raimi Spider-Mans?
Okay, one, Spider-Man 1 mm-hmm. with Green Goblin.
Mm-hmm.
8. I'd give it an 8.
Oh, okay, okay. Number 2?
9.
Okay, all right, all right. Number 3.
6.
Oh, okay. That's rough. It's rough out here, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Like 6.5, because it has some redeeming qualities, but it's definitely like, it's like, meh.
Yeah.
Like the intro, the intro to 3 with Hobgoblin, mm-hmm. that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah, I mean, but then when he actually turns into the Hobgoblin, all the way downhill.
But the very beginning, you know, mm-hmm. ow, my mm-hmm. back.
Ow. Ouchies. All right, Dylan, I like it, man. I like it. I hope you come back with another trilogy for us at some point or another. In the meantime, I played, as we know, last night on stream a little game with Garrett called Rumbleverse. And I wanted to get a chance to talk about it today because I actually got a chance to actually really, really finally fully play this game. I want to start out by saying that I'm not a fan of Battle Royales. A lot of you guys at home know that. I'm not a Battle Royale guy. This game actually turned out to be like one of my favorite Battle Royale experiences that I've ever had. I think that this game's super fun. It's super goofy. And it's extremely difficult because of the mechanics of the game. And other people who've just been playing it longer than you will have a one-up on you when you're first entering in this game, because there's a lot of mechanics that there's no tutorial for this game in. There's no tutorial for this game. You kind of just have to jump in and fucking suck for your first few matches until you kind of learn what all the controls are and how to do combos and how to attack and how to do grapples and how to counter people and what the priority list does of attacks. Is if you hit someone at the same time and they have a priority attack over you, you guys will clash, and depending on who has the better priority, that will be the person who ends up doing the damage to the other. This game is super fun, though. Like, once you get a hang and a swing of, like, how things are going and, like, how to defend yourself from, like, someone just running up on you, it is a lot of fun, because you can start to feel yourself sort of actually being able to 1v1 someone, or even start talking like 1v2, because you will get jumped in this fucking game. And it is real easy to get fucking jumped. But once you start to, like, you know, handle that a little bit better, do a little bit more like item organization, sort of prioritizing things, just like games like Fortnite and other battle royales, you basically kind of start your first few minutes by looting. You're just gathering up as much supplies and upgrades and things like that as you go along. There's these powders that will upgrade your statistics for the rest of the match, and you have a limit of up to 9 of those that you can actually 8 that you can get across upgrades for damage output, stamina, and maximum health. For anybody who's brand new to the game, I will give you some advice. Focus on increasing your damage and your maximum health. It is there's a lot to it. There's a surprisingly a lot to this fucking game.
Yeah, it seemed pretty in-depth.
But once you get a hang of that, like all the mechanics and everything that's going on and what's happening in the UI, it is a really fucking fun game. I do want to make sure I point out, because you guys know me, I want to make sure I'm kind of balancing the beams here. When I first tried playing this, and emphasis on tried, and Devin was here for this, I was starting it on my PlayStation and was trying to get into crossplay so I could play with our boy Josh. And it was damn near fucking impossible to figure this out, because Epic Games has this weird system of needing to log into your Epic Games account via an internet browser rather than like on the actual console itself. And it makes things super complicated when they don't fucking need to be, especially for crossplay, right? And then I ran into a dud that was my own fault, where like apparently my Epic account for my PlayStation is logged into a different account than the one that my Xbox is logged into. So my PlayStation wasn't letting me like log into my Xbox, or the my Epic account that has my Xbox signed into it, and then attach my PlayStation account to that one because it was already signed into another account. I don't fucking know. It got super complex. I got frustrated. I gave up. And so last night when we started playing, I went in completely blind, having no idea what the controls were. I ended up just downloading on Xbox. I had no complications getting, like, you know, squatted in with Garrick. But I think my favorite part about this is that I was able to jump in and just kind of fuck up the first few matches and kind of like learn the mechanics, and me and Garrett kind of like slow pace our way into it. My issue that I have with battle royales 99% of the time is when you lose a match, you get taken out, you have to go back to your main menu, you have to load back and queue back in, and who knows how long that's going to fucking take. And then you have to restart the process all over again of collecting loot, doing this, doing that, until you ever come back into combat again. And if you're not good at the game, when you do engage in combat again, you're gonna get taken out like that, and all the fun goes out the window, because every time you engage in combat, you're just losing and dying over and over again. And your gameplay time now becomes 5 minutes with a 10-minute queue in and looting and all this other stuff before you ever see action again. And that's kind of what my issue is with battle royales, generally speaking. This game had like a, for the duos at least, had a like 30-second queue-in time maximum. The queue-in time was fast, super fucking snappy. So when we lost, we'd go back to the main menu, and it didn't feel like we were just burning fucking time, because the process of coming in and looting stuff was actually fun, and then engaging in combat with other people, you're not guaranteed to lose. It's not like completely 100% a skill game. It is just a dorky kind of fighting wrestling game in between things. And you're not just going to get mollywomped all the way through once you learn the mechanics of everything. And so I think that's kind of what made it for me. Rumbleverse, I'm going to be giving a 7.5. For myself, I think that this game is definitely worth playing, especially it's free to play. It's a free to play game. It's on all consoles and platforms.
Free to play.
I think it's worth playing. I think it's worth picking up if you want a good game to play with some, with a friend, you know, things like that. I think this is a fun one to do. I wish that they had, triples, but they don't. Unfortunately, they only have duos and singles.
No threesomes.
No threesomes, unfortunately. No threesomes in this sadly. Game yet. I wish they did. Yeah, I know. No MMF. No, you know, MFF. Unfortunately, they just don't have it yet. You know, as I, you know. And that, my friends, will do it for Hands on Deck. But Devin, we got something special for the people at home. Tell the people what's next, my man.
Yo, y'all better protect your neck, because it's the
MFF. Today for the gallows, everybody, we have in two weekends, we have a big event that's happening down in SoCal, baby. It's going down in the United States, because we have the D23 Expo. Now, for anyone at home that doesn't know what D23 is, it is the big convention / expo that Disney does every two years, where they do massive announcements for all of their IPs, what Disney's going to be doing as far as Pixar, as far as their animation suites, as far as Star Wars, and as far as Marvel. And as you guys at home know, we are very, very big fans of all three of those things. So what we are doing today is we're going to be dropping some predictions with each other for what we think we're going to be seeing in 2 weeks at D23 between Star Wars and Marvel predictions. That's what we're doing today. We're putting on our tinfoil hats. We're kind of doing the thing. We're going to do round robin. Okay, round robin. We'll come back. We'll do three rounds each, or depending on how we're feeling, we could do two for Marvel and two for Star Wars. How do you guys feel about that?
Do that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's do that then. We'll start with the Marvel round here, because that's the juicy stuff. You know what I'm saying? Let's fucking go, baby. Devin, the broken man Stanford, what is your first Marvel prediction?
Well, so they've announced all the phases, but not they have all the dates announced. You know, for, you know, phases, you know, 5 and 6 and
soft
stuff.
Soft dates, hard dates, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. 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 But there's a lot of empty slots in there. I think we get an announcement of a World War Hulk movie.
Okay, World War Hulk. Okay, I see you. I see you. Devin, could you do me a favor? In our show notes, doc, could you type in our predictions for me just right underneath the gallows section?
Yeah, I got it.
Big open space, baby. Thank you. You just put Devin and then write your prediction. And then when, you know, DJ goes, put DJ and we'll just rotate. World War Hulk. You really think they're going to lean in World War Hulk, huh?
I think they're going to do that. And I think it's going to be an adapted storyline where the villain is going to be or the antagonist, I should say, is going to be actually Hulk's son, Scar. He's ruling.
You think Bruce has a son?
Not Bruce, Hulk. Bruce doesn't know about the sun because he was
on another planet for another year. Oh shit! Yeah. Okay.
He was on there for 2 Earth years.
Damn, you think Hulk was dicking it down on that planet?
He did in the comics. He did in the comics. And this is all comic canon.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
You know, and I think. Jeff Goldblum's character, since he got overthrown.
Yeah.
I think Hulk's son is going to be the ruler of Sakaar.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Okay. I see you. Because
there's some things that happen in She-Hulk and I think they're setting it up and they're just like, they're literally, these episodes are like prepping us. They're like, hey, it's coming, guys.
Yep.
It's coming. We're finally going
to
do it.
Not to spoil anybody, but we had something that happened with Bruce Banner / Hulk that could potentially set up something that has nothing to literally do with She-Hulk technically. And like now that's not migrating that way. That could potentially be it. I like that. That's a good prediction, Devin. I like that. DJ motherfucking Simfix, my man. What is your first Marvel prediction?
Midnight Suns.
Ooh,
Midnight Suns.
You think we're okay? Where do you think it's gonna land at? Where do you think they're gonna put it?
Oh fuck, I don't know.
Because we have, I think, two spaces open for Phase 5, and we have like 6 spaces open for Phase 6.
I don't.
I think it'll be Phase 6. I think they need to do because they're gonna do the.
I got you.
They're gonna do the Daredevil thing for Phase 5. No, right? That's what they revealed. For the TV,
well, it's on there already. It is set up and stuff like that. But they have two spaces open for Phase 5 that they can fill, and then they have like 6 spots, like dates that they had put for Phase 6 that have nothing announced for them yet. So
I think it'll go Phase 6.
Phase 6. Okay.
I'm pretty sure because like I think they need to set everything up for that because like Blade's coming Phase 5, right? Mm-hmm, like they have that announced, right? And I'm pretty sure they might announce like something else, like for Phase 5, right? But I think Phase 6.
Well, hold on, Devin. Sense. I know it's DJ's prediction. Let him finish. Let him finish. Let him finish. It's his prediction. Phase 6 only has Kang's Dynasty and the
Fantastic Four. And Fantastic Four, Secret Wars.
Dinosaur, and Secret Wars announced for it. So, where do you see Midnight Suns being at the beginning, like right after Fantastic Four, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think that might be it. Yeah.
Okay. I like
for
it.
Sure.
Now, Devin, you're gonna hop in. Go ahead.
Devin, counter.
Okay. I don't think we get Midnight Suns till like Phase 7 or 8, and the reason why I say that is because I think that's gonna be introduced with another like big bad villain, and the other reason why I say that too, there's a couple other movies or series that need to happen before we can get Midnight Suns because we need Ghost Rider still. We need Ghost Rider.
Wait, we do need to redo Ghost Rider.
I mean, like I said, they have two slots open for Phase 5. They could announce a Ghost Rider.
But show. I think there's something that's going to be way more probable if for a team up thing that's going to happen before that, and I think we're going to get Defenders instead.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've already said that Spider-Man and Daredevil are going to lead the street level heroes.
Okay, so are you making that one of your official predictions, or are you just gonna hop in on?
No. I'm just telling. I don't think we get Midnight Suns for a while.
Okay, sure.
I don't.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
That's valid.
I actually like it. I think that Marvel's done a lot of things to change some things up. I think there's a good chance that we could potentially, if not an official Midnight Suns, then some form of beginning of Midnight Suns, yeah, where we see something formulate. You know what I mean? I could definitely at least see that. Because I mean, we are getting Blade in Phase 5, we are getting Daredevil, we already have Doctor Strange. Like, there's a lot of different options they could take things. There's obviously only a couple of characters left that they haven't really played with yet,
right,
that we're gonna need before they can do that. But there's room for it. You know what I'm saying? There's room for it. all right, my first Marvel prediction, boys. Are you ready? Y'all ready for this shit?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm dreaming big today, baby. I'm dreaming big today because I think we're getting Phase 6. Two of these slots are getting filled. Two of these slots are getting announced in 2 weekends, boys. And it's going to be Shang-Chi and Deadpool 3 before Kang's Dynasty.
Yep.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
That's strong.
They're going to lead into Kang's Dynasty with those two movies. And I think they're going to be back to back. And I think between Deadpool 3 and Kang's Dynasty, it's going to be 3 months apart. That's it. That's it. I think Phase 6, because we already have Kang's Dynasty and Secret Wars only 3 months apart as well. I think they're going to boom right through Phase 6 because they're going to want to lead right into Phase 7 again.
What if they use Deadpool 3 as like a cameo, like mashup? Like, and they, and
like he's just meeting all the Avengers.
Like, yeah, he's into Spider-Man for one point, and he like comes across like Luke Cage and Daredevil.
I like it.
The Punisher. He's like, why do you keep shooting me?
I like it. Devin, write that shit down. Write that shit down, baby.
Yeah.
All right.
So I have another prediction here.
Your second one? All right.
Yep.
Before you dive into it, this is your last Marvel prediction. Are you ready to lay it down?
I know.
All right. Okay,
this is hoping big, and this is also like a, you know, I think we get an official casting for Doctor Doom, and he's the villain in Wakanda Forever, and we get another trailer.
Whoa. Outside of Namor? Outside yeah. of... Whoa. Oh, he's playing the strings all along? Yeah. Okay. All right, Devin. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is dreaming big, baby.
I've been thinking about it. I was like, there's a third force in that trailer, like soldiers and stuff and scientists. And I'm like, there's no U.S. embling or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We already kind of got a little bit of some Easter eggs of Doctor Doom and Moon Knight. You know, it's like, I just think we need the setup. And the reason why I think they want to introduce him now as a player in the game is because he's a big part of Secret Wars, like a very, very big part of Secret Wars. And he also ends up being an Avenger, too, at one point. You know, so I think this is a way we get Doctor Doom. And here I've been thinking about it a lot. There's only two people I want to see play him in the MCU.
Okay, cool.
Cillian Murphy or Michael Fassbender.
You don't want him as Magneto in this, huh?
I think they might go a different route with Magneto. I don't know who, but I think they might.
Okay. I mean, if we get Michael Fassbender as Magneto canonized,
I will fucking cry.
give me
Cillian Murphy, Doctor Doom, and Michael Fassbender, Magneto. There you go. I'll be happy.
Let's go, baby. All right. Yeah. Note that down. Put that in your notes, baby. DJ.
Oh yeah.
What is your second and last Marvel prediction, baby? Let's go.
I don't know. Midnight Suns was like the only thing I could think of, like off my head. So like,
you know,
because you guys are well more versed in Marvel than I am.
Sure. Throw up a dream. What do you want? What do you want?
I
want
to see Punisher again.
Let's fucking go, baby.
I want to see Punisher again. I need more Bernthal. Give me more Bernthal. John... Any way you can fit Bernthal in?
Yep.
Put him in. All right. I don't care.
Where do you think it'll land? Phase 5 or Phase 6?
Phase 5. All coincide right. with Daredevil. You know, like, I feel like, because, you know, he's there.
Okay. But, John Bernthal's Punisher. You got it.
More John Bernthal, please. More John Bernthal's the Punisher.
You got it, baby. You got it. All right. Yeah. All right. My next one's a little bit of a weaker one. Because I went in, I had to get the other one down in my name. I'll say it's signed, sealed, and delivered. You know what I mean? I gotta get that full send on that bad boy. But my second one here is I think we're going to get Phase 6 Nova movie announced.
I think it's gonna be a TV series.
I think it's gonna be a movie. I feel like it's gonna be a movie because we're gonna come off of the Marvels, and I think that Nova is going to end up being way more important than we think it is, because I think they're going to retire Captain Marvel.
I don't know if they're going to yet. I feel like there hasn't been enough Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm just saying
my prediction. And Captain Marvel's been in the post-credit scene for Shang-Chi and Ms. Marvel now.
Yeah, no, I don't think she's not going to come back. I think that after the Marvels, I don't think they're going to really use her. I think Nova's going to be effectively the replacement for Captain Marvel in the hit movie Nova. I guess is a better way to phrase that. Yeah. So now, boys, let's move into some Star Wars, okay? Let's do some Star Wars talk here for a little bit, all right?
Star Wars.
Lots of wild stuff out of Star Wars lately. Devin, what is your first Star Wars prediction we're going to get out
of? I'm going to take it. We get our official reveal of the Ahsoka series for Disney Plus with the first trailer.
All right. I like it, dude. It's about time, isn't it? It's about time, man. We've been waiting on this Ahsoka series. We got to get a nice bright little twinkle in our life here.
And with that official casting of Ezra.
Okay. I see you. I like it. Ahsoka, man, that's gonna be a fucking good show, dude.
She's gonna be so hot. Oh, I mean, God. She's gonna be so great.
She already is. Rosario Dawson.
Ernella already knows.
I know. Devin loves him some Rosario Dawson. Every time we're playing Dying Light 2, dude, it's no joke. He's like, what you look like, girl? Like, damn, girl. You got enough hand on that ass, girl? Like, he's just going off in Dying Light 2. It's fucking great. Okay. DJ, what is your first Star Wars prediction, my friend?
Yeah, I when it comes to Star Wars, it's very surface level for me. So like I haven't delved too deep. So I personally don't know what to predict with you guys. You guys would be like, it's already there.
Nah, dude, throw up a dream, baby. What do you want? We'll confirm for you. It's okay.
I need a what's his fucking face from like what's his fucking name?
The guy
Revan.
Okay,
yeah, I need that guy.
Yeah,
need him.
You think we'll get some Revan somewhere?
Yeah, maybe somewhere. I feel like I don't know. You just gotta expand somewhere in the expanded universe.
Somewhere for sure. We could get some Darth Revan. I mean, like it is kind of playing in that direction a little bit. We've talked about it here between me and Devin and Garrick before. It's
KOTOR
like,
is coming back, right? KOTORs were delayed.
It got indefinitely delayed, unfortunately. But
that would be cool to reveal if that's a thing, because it could build hype for a KOTOR, like the KOTOR game that they're.
I mean, we've all but gotten confirmation that Jedi Fallen Order is canon. It is canon.
Yeah.
We've seen the hints there. We could get Cal Kestis revealed in some form or another very, very soon. Obviously, the video game IPs have some sort of inkling in the greater expanse of the Star Wars universe. Yeah. So I don't think that's necessarily far-fetched. What about you, Devin?
I don't think so either, because we do know that the next films that are being made, they said they're shying away from trilogy and just making movies now. We know it's all going to be based in the High Republic. It's going to be, you know, a very, 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 very long time ago, like when Jedi were abundant and stuff like that everywhere, like even before the prequels. And we are getting the Acolyte as well, which is also based in the High Republic. So it's very possible that we could maybe get some Darth Revan eventually.
That'd be fun.
That would be sick. That'd be nuts.
I love it. All right. So my first Star Wars prediction here. I think Star Wars is going to almost completely ignore anything that has to do with its movie slate, except for one thing, and that's going to be my next prediction. I think they're going to all but one just completely ignore the movies. They're not going to talk about Star Wars movies. They're not going to acknowledge that movies are even coming, really. I think most of this is going to be focused on their Disney Plus TV show suite. If we get one movie, it'll be that one movie I'm going to be talking about here next. But that's it. I think they're really putting their cards into these TV shows. Devin, mm-hmm. go yeah. ahead, my friend.
I think we get an official announcement and title for Taika Waititi's film.
Perfect. So I'm actually going to break up our rotation here, because that was going to be my next prediction as well. But I'm going to stack on top of it when we come back around to me. So, Devin, you think we're going to get that announced? What do you think it's going to be? What do you think it's going to be?
Dude, I don't know what it's going to be. That's the thing. Darth I just think Rabbit. That we're going to get the. I mean, that'd be cool, but that like, cool. I don't know with his style, you know. I'm trying to think about what it's going to fit in, but I don't know what it's going to be, but I feel like we're going to get that announcement.
It's about time, right? Like, they've been, like, yeah. a lot of them have been talking about it for a while now, so it it makes sense for us to get it now. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. DJ. Yeah, one more prediction, baby boy. You gonna throw up another dream Star for Killer? Us? Star Killer? Yeah. Where are you?
Yeah. I feel like it's a good thing to bounce on. I mean, there hasn't been a show or a movie about Star Killer. I think a lot of people like Force Unleashed games that put a lot of people onto Star Killer as a character. So,
okay.
I mean, it'd be cool to watch. Like, I'm just imagining that as a movie, like watching that, like. Man, like that slow descent into like fucking coming to the dark side and like being one of the most powerful fucking beings in the fucking universe, is that'd be kind of cool,
right? Oh, dude, yeah, that would be a lot of fun. I think there's room for them to do that and make it a really, really cool piece of content. Yeah. I don't necessarily know if they would make it into a show or a movie, or if they would even do it in the next like 5 years, but I do think that there is.
They might announce it or announce like something about Starkiller, maybe.
Or like some sort of hint towards it, right? Like, yeah, like maybe at some point.
I wouldn't say it's like a full like reveal of anything, but I'd say maybe like a little dropper Easter egg.
Sprinkle, you know what I'm saying? A little sprinkle. That right there, baby. All right. So my last prediction is going to stack on top of Devin's a little bit. I do also think that they will be announcing it. As I said, this has to do in tandem with my last prediction. I think it's going to be the only movie that they announce. And I think it's going to be the only movie that they announce as slated for the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. I think they're not going to touch fucking Star Wars movies outside of this one. And honestly, and like this doesn't have to be an extra note on this or anything like that, I'm got a gut feeling that Taika's going to back out.
Ooh.
Like, I've got a gut feeling that he doesn't really want to do this all that bad. And I don't know. There's just like the way he's gone about it, he's talked about it, like his presentation on it. I don't think he even feels that he's suited for the Star Wars universe. And a part of me feels like all three of us agree.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I definitely see it. Yeah.
Like, that's as much fun as it would be. I just can't in my fucking brain think of anything that Taika could put his hands on that would be fitted for this dark, fucked up, wild universe that we have been spending in with Mandalorian, with Fallen Order video game, with Book of Boba Fett. Like I don't think there's really much that he can touch. Devin, go.
I will say he has directed some Mandalorian episodes.
He did do the couple. He did do the two that he directed, and they were phenomenal. They were fucking phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I try to envision those episodes being larger, and it turns into Thor Ragnarok for me.
And he played the assassin bot too.
Yeah, no, he did. And it was literally the same humor as everything else that he does. And that's kind of my worry Like I kind of worry because like I'm now kind of taking a Xander approach to this where I don't feel like Taika's like writing and humor and the way that he does it fits in this universe the same way that it does in Marvel, right? Where like he can get away with that because Thor is kind of just a goofy, funny character now. Where in Star Wars, like, sure, I'll take him voicing a goofy, funny character. I just don't necessarily want a action comedy Star Wars piece. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I like it's hard. I'd like to see it. I want to see it. I'll experience it, but I don't necessarily think I would particularly be happy about it. So with that said, guys, everyone at home, that has been our D23 predictions. We have it noted in our show notes. We'll copy it down, put it in a different doc for us over there, Devin. So
I'm 100% right, by the way.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. About all the Starkiller and everything, baby. DJ just whooped our asses, Devin. He just whooped our asses, doggy dog. Imagine, dude, if they actually do like a full on, like some sort of announcement for Starkiller, I will shit my fucking shorts, dude. That is a big, big prediction to
last. What if Starkiller's in Ahsoka?
But that's what I was going to say. Ooh. That's if there's like, they show a trailer and there's a little Easter egg. Fuck me, dude. God damn, that would be so good. What's also good, though, is our schedule for next week, guys. Next Tuesday, we have another Good Kraken podcast. We're going to be talking, what is the ultimate gamer snack? And why is it Alana Pierce? And then that's going to be at 7 p.m. Pacific time. And Alana, I know you watch the show. You know, I know you watch the show. You are the gamer snack. You know what I'm saying? You are. I love you. You're great. You're amazing, Alana. You're a wonderful human being. I'm sorry. I'm horny bonked to infinity over here. These guys can tell you about it. Anyways, 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Come join us for that. Then next Wednesday, we have another Ocean Shrine story time where yours truly is going to finally be beating Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice. I have one area left in the game, approximately an hour and a half to 2 hours left of this goddamn game. I'm going to jump in, have no fucking clue what the controls are again, because that always keeps happening. I forget the goddamn controls in this damn game. And we're going to beat it. We're going to beat it finally next Wednesday. Come in.
Beat it like join me for that. Beat the meat, dude.
It's going to be fun because this is the very, very first game that I ever streamed. Ever. And it's going to be a long time coming. It's going to be a long time. It's been almost 2 years. Almost 2 years since I went in and dabbled my little beady fingers on this game, so it's gonna be fun. 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern time there too. The next Thursday we have another live recording of the Shipwreck Show, also 7 p.m. Pacific time. That is, go watch our last episode if you want a good idea of how that shit's popping off. Go watch our last episode. That is episode 39, the GK guide
sex
to having sex. It is it was wild. That thumbnail was taking me out when I was making it.
Dude, I laughed. It took me a second to notice it, but when I noticed it, I was like,
how do I make me and Devin look like creeps? Let's do it, dog. So go check that episode out and then come hang out with us live next Thursday. And then next Friday, Devin and I and our friend Sam are taking a risk here because early next week, an update comes out for a very specific game. And we're going to be diving back into this game to just ream its asshole and see if this game should even still fucking exist. Because next Friday for Splash Damage, we are diving into Battlefield 2042 Season 2. Comes out August 28th, tomorrow. It's going to be coming out. We're going to come in and we're going to see if Devin was right the whole time. This game is fucking trash. We're going to find out. 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Come. And then next Saturday we have another GK podcast where we're not going to be talking about the D23 results yet because I had the timing incorrect on that. Instead, we're going to be talking about actors that do multiple mediums and should they continue to do so. We have a lot of actors out here that are both musicians, that are also actors, that are also comedians, that are also doing this, that are also doing that. And we're going to talk about some of our favorite actors that share multiple mediums there. Again, 12 p.m. Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time. Join us for that next Saturday. It'll be a lot of fun. In the meantime, y'all, please let us know what your D23 predictions are for Marvel and Star Wars. Drop them in the comments below. Drop them to us on Twitter. Drop them into our Discord channel where you can join right now. And let us know all your thoughts on that. Let us know if you thought our predictions were bullshit and why we will actually get Starkiller announced at D23 in 2 weeks, baby.
Let's just me. Go. It's me and all those like social medias, like,
Oh, shit.
Guys are so wrong.
God, why does it do that? Why does it do that? It keeps doing that. Oh, God. I fucking hate this. I hate this so much. There we go. That's better. Sometimes I, like, move one thing, and it makes everything disappear.
Everything
fucking disappear. I fucking hate it so goddamn much. I hate it so much. What I don't hate, though, is this show, because this has been the Good Kraken Podcast, your choice for all the nerdy video game and pop media news, reviews, and discussions that you wanted to hear live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 12 p.m. right here at twitch.tv/goodkrakenshow. If you're riding this wave, you can head on over to our Discord channel where you can submit questions and topics to the show. You can soon get exclusive post-show content, and you have early access to episodes before they go live on podcast and video services across the digital sea. You can also support us by going to our YouTube channel, by clicking that beautiful bell and big red button, or by subscribing to our podcast channel by searching Good Kraken with an exclamation mark and leaving a review there. We got to run on out of here, everybody. But until next time, my friends, come.
Daddy, chill.
Come, daddy, chill.